Let me begin by wishing you a happy birthday. And thank you, Rabbi Wolf. Thank you, Rabbi Sachs. Looking forward, every time I have the opportunity of coming here to Ma'ayan, we opportunity to just explore another exciting topic. You're always changing up the topics. We never repeat. We're going to run out of topics at a certain point. And the topic is a compelling one. The one of Zichronos, which is the third section of our Rosh Hashanah Musaf, remembrances. The middle section of our Rosh Hashanah Musaf, remembrances. So that, it begs the question as to what does God need to remember? What exactly does God need to remember? So what I would like to do tonight, what's the ideal amount of time, Wolf? An ideal world. In an ideal world. Okay, good. I want to talk about the subject of memory, of what it means, remembrances, from the vantage point of Chazal, different viewpoints. You can plug in which one you think speaks to you as far as when you open up the Siddur this Rosh Hashanah. You can look inside and decide which one of these different vantage points are the ones you think resonates most with your own neshama and what you think the text is truly getting at. I do want to start with a quote by Lahavdil. It's a secular book, considered maybe the best book of the last 20 years. It's called The Road by Cormac McCarthy, a haunting, haunting book. You forget what you want to remember, and you remember what you want to forget. And that, mamish, is so true of life, that you sort of hold on to those things that you don't need there anymore, taking up space in your mental filing cabinet. And those things that you want to recall, whether it's a sugya or whether it was a pleasant conversation, pieces of it are just happen to be missing. Okay, and I throw that out there. I don't know what to do with it. I just always love that quote, and I've been waiting for someone to plan a shir on Zichrono so I could use it. So I use it here tonight as my intro. Okay, the first vantage point, or the way to look at memory, or Zichrono, is a beautiful insight that I saw from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik, who was Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshiva University, grandson of Rav Chaim Brisker. And he has such a beautiful way of referring to the Yom Tovim. And he writes as follows. Let me start on a personal note. In my experiential, not intellectual, memory, two nights stand out as a singular, as endowed with a unique and fascinating quality, exalted in their holiness and shining with a dazzling beauty. Two nights stand out in his emotional memory, different than intellectual memory. It's an interesting chiluk. By the way, he's from the Brisker world. His grandfather's Reb Chaim Brisker, which means they use their Brisker style, which is to break everything down into two categories. They use it even in their common dialogue. So look what he says. What are these two nights? The night of the Seder and the night of Kol Nidre. As a child, I was fascinated, indeed, entranced by these two clear, moonlit nights, both wrapped in grandeur and majesty. I used to feel stimulated, aroused, inspired, illuminating vision heightened my senses, which were sharpened and liberated from all inhibitions. A strange silence, a stillness, a peace, a quiet, and a serenity enveloped me. I used to surrender to a stream of inflowing joy and ecstasy. In a word, I vividly sensed the presence of Hashem. Of course, it's hard for me now to describe the state of mind of a sensitive child in genuinely childish categories, but I'm only portraying in retrospect the experiences of my childhood, availing myself of the categories of an adult mind. Now here he gets specific. I can still hear the solemn, sad, nostalgic melody of the Yaknahaz, the mnemonic for the order of the Kiddush and Havdalah, which I heard most probably at the age of 5, when my grandfather recited the Kiddush on Seder night that happened to coincide with the end of the Sabbath. Likewise, the night of Yom Kippur had an inebriating fragrance that remained forever with me. I felt that I was confronted with something beautiful and intoxicating, that I was in the presence of a revealed reality that I have not seen before. The pale bluish moonlight, the chill of a crisp, clear autumnal night, the trees with their golden foliage and the twinkling stars in heaven. In everything, I saw a dazzling new reality. Out of everything, I could perceive the whisper of God. Beautiful way. And I was cutting it short. but beautiful way that Rav Soloveitchik refers to his emotional memory, his emotional experiences, and his connection to the Yom Tovim, his connection to Pesach, his connection to Yom Kippur. So I think one possible interpretation of what it means, Zichronos, when we daven, is not about we need God to remember or that God forgets, but rather joining God in a nostalgic experience. Meaning, Hashem, you and I both know I'm not where I was before. Or I haven't kept the things I said I was going to keep. But let's remember those great moments. Let's remember together those times in our lives when I was so inspired, when I was so alive, when I had that innocence of coming to Judaism for the first time. God, you remember that. You must remember that feeling. Maybe that's the first pshat in Zichronos. It's not that we're asking God to forget something, that God remembers something that God may have forgotten. No. Chas v'shalom. What we're saying is we're turning to God and saying, in a nostalgic sense, life's not the same anymore. Things have broken since then. The world we knew, that innocence and perfect world where we thought everyone was just good, that's gone. But let's go back for a moment to that great experience. At least for one yontif, let's go back there. That, I think, is a possible pshat. And that works because each of us have that experience that we try to go back to, and it's difficult to find it again. And we try. You know, you could sometimes go back. I was in yeshiva in Israel, and there was nothing like it. And I remember going back again later, and I remember wanting to stop in a certain base medrash I was in Tel Aviv. And I remember it was Shalosh Shudas, and the wind was coming through the window. And I remember it just picking me up, giving me chizuk for the next month. And I remember going back there, hoping to feel the same thing. And it's never the same. You can't recreate the exact same feeling. That's Zichronos. You're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remind each other of that fond experience, that rendezvous that you had with spirituality, with Ruchnius. That's one possibility. Another possibility, we'll call that the Rav Soloveitchik approach. The next approach we'll call the Havdil, the Einstein approach. Moonwalking with Einstein. Moonwalking with Einstein is an amazing book. The author this wasn't his field. The book is about memory. This wasn't his field at all, Josh Forer, Jewish, and he decided to study these memory championships that take place every year, major tournaments where people memorize thousands and thousands of bits of information, and he decided to plunge himself deep into the world of memory. And he talks about the science of memory, wonderful book, and he says in the book, he quotes a French chronobiologist. Chronobiologist is someone who studies the relationship between time and living organisms. And this French chronobiologist, Michel Siffre, conducted one of the most extreme acts of self-experimentation in history. What did he do? 1962, he spends 2 months in total isolation in a subterranean cave without access to a clock, calendar, or a sun. He sleeps and eats only when his body tells him to. And he wanted to see how he'd be affected by living beyond time. Very quickly, his memory became deteriorated. In darkness, his days melded into one another. They became one continuous, undefinable blob. He almost went nuts. He ran out screaming, soon in. And he thought that he was literally there for 7-8 months when he was actually there for only 2 months. What happened? What we take away from there is that memory, that which we remember, is associated with experiences. Meaning, you'll remember something better because something happened along with it. If I'll read a piece of information in a sefer, it's hard to remember it. But if somebody smacks me the second I read the information, friendly, just a friendly way, not an abusive, a friend clocks you over the head the second I read about the Gemara Nedarim Membeis, it's going to stay in my head. Because the strange event association is going to give me a coat hanger by which to hang the information on. You understand? We retain information because we have experiences that we could associate. For example, you remember how you learned X and Y in school only because those incidences were accompanied by something that stands out in your memory. The teacher slipped a minute later. The teacher made a great joke. Or they did something inspiring. You understand? There are defined, distinct moments that allow us to retain the information. So what's that pshat? That pshat tells us that the nature of zichronos, of memory, is referential. What I mean is, the significance of a memory is, in a sense, what you do with it. What did you do with that memory? Okay, I remembered that I did this 8 years ago. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's irrelevant. The question is, what did you do with that memory? You remember what it felt like when someone did something that was not nice to you. Shkoyach, what did you do with that memory? Did you make someone else's life better because of it? Right? The Torah tells us over and over, Ki geirim hayisem be'eretz Mitzrayim, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Rashi tells us, Kama kashalo kishalokzinoso, so you shall feel the plight of the convert when you put pressure on him. What do you mean, so you should feel? Just tell me to be nice to the stranger. What do you got to give me, Egypt? We move past that. Because the memory is significant, because the instruction stays with us, because we have an association by which to hang it on. You understand? What do you do with that information? And you could use past experiences in a positive or negative way. You know, there are people who still complain about the teacher they had in fifth grade. There was a teacher they had in fifth grade who treated me terribly. And that's why I hate this Jewish stuff. Get over it. You graduated already. Fifth grade was a long time ago. We've all moved on from fifth grade. The question is, what do you do with your past experiences? Do you turn and say, I'm going to make Judaism much better for other children? Or do you turn and say, I want nothing to do with it. I check out. You understand? Every experience in life asks you, what do you want to do with that memory that's stored in your head? Do you want to forever live and be held by the pain of that experience? Be a slave to the pain of that experience? Or do you want to take that experience and say, now I plan to do something else with it? What do you do with your memories? With that, we have a nice shot. Why? The Gemara in Yoma says, strange Gemara, like a magical Gemara, says that with tshuva out of love, you could turn your negative actions into positive mitzvahs. What does that mean? Come on, I just really messed up. I've been sinning against God for years. Suddenly I do tshuva out of love and poof, it's gone? It's not magic. It's not magic. What it is it says, I'm going to take my past experiences. What got me here today? You know what got me here today? The fact that I've been a rebel all these years? Well, guess what? Now I'm going to rebel again. And this time I'm going to rebel against the world and become a committed Jew. The same koach that you used to sin all those years, you're going to use that memory that you have of what you did in your past, you're going to flip that around now, and you're going to figure out a way to use that for good. To channel those same passions, those same energies. I saw from my favorite Rabbanim, his name is the Chalban, the milkman. He says, everybody talks about that tshuva in life is about discovering your good midos, your good qualities. He says, that's not what it's about. He goes, your good qualities, it's no big chachma to discover your good qualities. You were given that as a gift from God. So you found it. Shkoach. What then is the positive? The positive is taking that positive trait, that mida, and anchoring it in the most useful way. That's your work. That's your avoda. That's what this means. That your negative sins, you turn them into positive. What does it mean? It's not magical. It's I take the trajectory of my energy. I use the same kochos and I flip it now in a positive way. That's the second pshat we have in memory. So to review, the first pshat we have in memory is the Rav. Rav Soloveitchik, we were saying, has this idea of memory as a nostalgic experience to connect you with Hashem. God, remember Chesed Nuorayach. Remember the sweetness of our youth, our innocent experience together. The second pshat is the moonwalking with Einstein approach. That idea that memory is only valuable as far as the referential aspect. Well, what do you associate with that memory? What do you do with the association that you have of that memory? Do you let it keep you a slave of the memory? Or do you allow the memory to empower you and make you a more powerful person? Wow, this time goes fast. We're at 15 already? Okay, 3 more minutes. Okay, third pshat. Lavdil. Scottish philosopher David Hume said that memory, the way he understood it, is that memory is a retrieval of past information. We know now that he was wrong. It's not true. What is it? It's much more subtle. Memory is past retrieval of past information seen through the lens you wear today. You understand? It's not just I pick up the photo from 15 years ago and I see the photo. No, our brain does something very interesting. Our brain picks up an image from the past, filters it from the lens of where we are today. Meaning, we'll pick up the same story from when we were a kid, but what we choose to focus on in the story is from the context of the way we're living life right now. That's how memory works. Memory is not just a retrieval of old data. Let me print out the old pages. That's what we always thought. Current research leads us to believe that we understand that memory, that's not the pshat in memory. Memory is a current and present filter by which we look at the world. By the way, that's a very good yesod. Because anytime you have Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, these parshias, where Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about the Jews in the past, you need to understand that what he's really doing, he's not just talking about the Jews in the past. He's seeing it from the current context. You know what? Take the most famous line, Pesach night. Chayev adam liras es atzmo, kehilu yotzim imitzrayim. A person's obligated to see themselves as though they left Egypt. Rambam Maimonides adds one word, now. You have to view yourselves now as doing that. What did Rambam add? What he's trying to tell you is don't just commemorate something that happened a long time ago. What does that do for everybody? Take the past experience and refract it through the lens of the world you're in right now. That's a good pshat in zichronos now. You now go back into the Machzor and Musaf and you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we talk about zichronos, we're going to remember what happened in the past to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But now let's view it from its current context. Now let's view it from what we could take away right now. I close with one more idea about zichronos, about memory. I had 15, but we'll save it for next year's zichronos. Okay. Rambam writes, this is pshat number 4. Rambam writes, Kol ha-shofar, ha-rei bol orer es elu ha-shochachim, es ha-emes behevli azman. The voice of the shofar is there to awaken those who have forgotten the truth in the confusion of time. How does the shofar wake you up? How does it achieve a commemoration? A zichronos. How does it do it? So to understand that, you have to go back to the reason of why we forgot God in the first place. To understand how the shofar awakens us and causes us to remember God, you have to first think about the root cause. How'd you forget God in the first place? What was the cause of the shichicha? What was the cause of forgetting God? So the Gemara in Brachos, Nun Ches Amid Beis, 58b, says, Gzeira ein hames nishtakach min alev, ela achar yud beis chodesh. That a loved one, is forgotten from the heart only after 12 months. Why 12 months? So Rashi on the Gemara makes a very interesting connection. Rashi says it's midin yeyush. Yeyush is a monetary thing. That if you lost something, after a while, 12 months, when you no longer think you're ever going to get it back, you sort of relinquish. You push it back in your experience, in your life experience. You never forget a loved one. But it means the intense pain, the immediate and intense pain, moves one step back after you hit the point of a year. Why? What's Rashi telling you? Because of Yeyush. You give up. At a certain point, you give up. When we sinned at the golden calf, the Jews, it says, v'yisablu, they mourned. What does that mean, they mourned? It means, pshat is, they gave up. They thought there is no chance for us to repair the intense damage that we've done. The lesson of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is that clarion. It's that call that says you never give up. There is always a chance. That's what the remembrance is. It's not to remind God. God remembers perfectly. It's to remind us what we were capable of. We were able to come back after the Chet Egel and come into the land of Israel. We were able to turn around God's judgment against us. God said, Yasu lefanai k'seder hazeh, do these slichas and you'll come alive again. That's the idea. That's zichronos. Zichronos is not reminding God. It's awakening ourselves that we never should have given up. We never should have gone to sleep and said, forget it. We cannot do it. The word is we can, right? Lule hemanti, if I were to believe, if I were not to believe, lule hemanti is elul hemanti. Elul. And will we learn to believe in ourselves again that we're capable of? So to summarize and conclude, we saw four possible interpretations of Zichronos. Rav Soloveitchik's idea of nostalgia. It's asking God to recall a fond experience where everything was just right in the world. The second shot was the moonwalking with Einstein approach. The idea that memory is referential. The notion that we only remember things as far as what are you going to do with it? Bottom line, what do you want to do with that memory? Number three, the anti-Hume approach that says memory is not just data retrieval. Memory is about refracting the information through your current lens. And number four is this shot in the Rambam that the shofar is a mechanism that reminds us of the Chaita Egel, teaching us that we never should have given up. We never give up. Waken yourselves. You need to remember that you've come back from much worse. You can come back again. Thank you, everybody.